have to leave.
Good morning. We're here this morning. We've got a fairly long agenda. Mr. Phillips will not be here today. He was playing racquetball Saturday night, and he's a little older than what he thought he was. He had an accident, and they took him to the hospital for emergency surgery, so he's laid up at home for a while. Yeah, if you're watching, Mr. Phillips, keep your foot elevated. I'm sure he probably is. I told him he can't call in, though. We don't allow no votes over the telephone.
No problem.
But he'll be out for a while. Hopefully he'll be back next week. I'm not sure, but I'm sure he'd remember thoughts and prayers for him. This morning, we have a lot on the agenda. I'm not sure at this point if we're going to allow comments from the audience or we'll just take a vote who's in favor or support. It depends on how long the meeting goes. Once we open the meeting up, we have to let everybody speak pro, for, and against the issue, whatever the issue is. We have a couple issues this morning that are fairly inflamed by the rumor mills and so forth of that. So we'll see how the meeting goes and whether we take comments or not at this point. With that, I will ask if there's any additions or corrections to the agenda.
I'll make a motion we approve the agenda as printed, Mr. President.
I have a motion by Mr. Jones, seconded by
Mr. Rogers.
Second.
And Mr. Phillips usually does that, so you're going to have, some of you are going to have to speak up. Seconded by Mr. Rogers to approve the agenda as presented. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Yes, motion is carried. Correspondence, Mr. Griffin. I'm sorry. I forgot the minutes. You've all received a copy of the minutes for...
She don't put the date on there.
Mr. Dukes has the date on his.
No, we can't make the motion. We don't have the date.
23rd.
We all have received a copy of the minutes for January the 23rd. Any additions or corrections to the minutes? Seeing none, I need a motion.
So moved, Mr. President.
I have a motion, Mr. Jones, seconded by...
Yes.
Wake up.
Second.
Mr. Rogers.
Mr. Cole's supposed to do it.
To approve the minutes as presented.
You three ought to be able to handle that. Yes.
Well, when they warm up, Mr. Cole, they'll be all right. Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Yes, motion is carried.
They write the agenda. They ought to be able to approve.
Now, Mr. Griffin, correspondence.
We have a letter from La Esperanza thanking council for a donation to their community center. A letter from Contact Lifeline. They thanking council for a human services grant. They operate crisis helpline services and counseling support services. A letter from the Sussex Community Swim Team thanking council for a donation. That's all the correspondence.
Any other correspondence?
No. There's some people making faces in the back. Speak up a little bit. They can't hear. They also,
okay.
As people speak, you ought to remind them.
Thank you.
We've all received correspondence emails this week, which we have copies, and I think they will probably be turned in and read at the appropriate time. We're honored to have Secretary Hughes here with us this morning, and he's coming down to talk about our favorite subject, and we will ask him to come forward at this time. Welcome to Sussex County.
Welcome home. Welcome.
Been here before.
And you live here.
Well, I'm honored to be here, President Dukes. I'm pleased to be before you. These are, as I intimated, familiar haunts. I know my way around this county. And I return home to it every day with gratitude. It's where I choose to live in the whole world. Let me discuss, you've asked me to speak to the 1990 Delaware Land Protection Act, portions of which impose upon my agency, the Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control, the responsibility of mapping lands of particular importance to the environment of the state of Delaware. These are called state resource areas. The mapping was conducted originally in 1990, and according to the Title VII, Chapter 75, the embodiment of the Land Protection Act in law, after the law was passed and signed by the governor, the responsibility was placed upon DENREC to travel about the state and review land uses, land holdings, and to select lands of particular importance, or at least identify them and map them, in all three counties. Now, when we did this, the original emphasis was clearly on acquisition. The same act created the Open Space Council, which reports to me and is funded to acquire land, and it's acquired considerable lands all over the state. For those of us who are Sussex Countyans, practically everyone in this room, but not everyone. A good example of open space acquisition would be the lands behind the Rehoboth outlets. As you head north, you pass through your county sewer area, the West Rehoboth sewer area, but the flanking lands are owned by the state of Delaware now. They're protected forever. And they were acquired under the open space, through the Open Space Council, under the Delaware Land Protection Act, and they are identified as state resource areas. As background to this process, I need to state that the law also requires that DENREC should present these maps to the county councils and the levy court in Kent County, and that they are required under the law to afford these special resource areas, state resource areas, special areas of special importance, an additional layer of protection because of their great value. Now, is that a case of the state turning over to the county a responsibility and walking away? No, it is not. We have no intention of walking away. We have done our mapping. We've been very careful in doing it, and we're proud of our work. We believe we've identified key state resource areas of great importance to the future of this state and of this county. We pledge on this occasion, and have before and will again, to support the county in their efforts to deal with this law and this issue. So we're not going to walk away from it. We're going to be here to help you should you want the help. You have to ask for it. You have to tell me you need it. But we have retained a firm to assist in presenting to you options for special protection of state resource areas. Now, how did we choose these areas? What were our standards for choosing them? Basically, we recognize one elemental problem in Delaware's environment. That's a loss of forest cover. We've lost a tremendous amount of our forest cover. And in Delaware in general, 13% of our forest cover very recently has been displaced by development. Of course, originally, when we settled this land, we displaced forest cover in order to survive, and that's agriculture, long gone. A recent study has estimated that by the year 2050, 43% of Delaware's forest land will have been subsumed by urban growth. In the year 2050, almost half of Delaware's former forests will lie within the limits of new urban areas. Oh, forestry was important. So was connectivity. So was the idea of stretches of land that are connected, be it by river corridors or by thin corridors of land or by existing tracts and protected areas to connect one habitat, one valuable site with another one. Many of the sites in state resource areas are already protected. Of the lands, and we're going to have Ron Vickers. Ron, where are you? There you are. Okay, we have maps we're going to show you in a few minutes to identify that which is already protected. We've done a wonderful job. You've done a wonderful job. All of us have done a great job. The absolute most valuable lands in Delaware, with a few exceptions, are environmentally valuable, are, and probably developmentally valuable, are inside state parks. We've already got them. I'd hate to think what the value of Delaware Seashore State Park would be for development, or Cape Henlopen. Already protected in Sussex County is 77,000 acres. Now that's protected as wetlands, or parkland, as special areas, as federal wildlife areas. That's 67% of the state resource areas. Not protected is 33%. That 33% is in question today. Of that, 33% amounts to 6% of your overall land areas. And that land, again, is land of endangered species, valuable, and land that is a habitat for valuable and endangered species, wetlands, river corridors, forestry. We chose as a standard for forestry 250 acres, but larger in Sussex County. So we don't have little tiny isolated plots of trees that are, we've coveted and said that we wish to make them state resource areas and protect them. The standard is 250 acres. Now, when you look at our responsibility in choosing these areas, and it came to my attention that we were in the process of choosing them, I asked one thing of my staff. I said, don't make me stand next to a Sussex County councilman in front of a 40-acre field and tell him that the right-hand side, the left-hand side is a state resource area and the right-hand side isn't. Give me something that's distinctive and clear as identifying this plot of land as being of special value to the future of this state, to our heritage property. Second, I recognize that that time, and that's a process may not be perfect, but it's certainly been heavily, and we've invested a tremendous amount of time in ground-truthing state resource areas as identifying valuable properties. The second thing is that in testimony before the Senate last year, I was asked why we hadn't identified and told people that their property was identified as a state resource area in the previous cycle of mapping. I said, well, we weren't called upon to do it. It was done not on my watch, and we didn't identify people, but I'll do it. I'll do it right now. I'll start the process. And I committed to identifying and notifying everyone who has a state resource area in the whole state. That wasn't so easy. I thought it was something I could ask the staff to do and they could knock it out in a week or so. It took a long time, it took months, and we did succeed in doing that. That's not to say that that process was exhaustive. There may be a sliver of land that slices in, or a boundary that was indistinct or not recognized. But by and large, we did notify them. We sent out, I believe it was how many letters, Ron?
Approximately 7,000.
7,000 letters. Sent them regular mail. We couldn't afford to send them registered. And that got a lot of attention. We got people for the first time realized that they had property in a state resource area either previously or by the new mapping, which included additional lands. Those people called us up and asked us to remove their lands in some cases, explain to them what's up. We did so. We opened up a phone bank. We worked with those people. We're still working with them. We're still getting phone calls, trying to disclose. I'm sorry that I'm coughing. I have a...
You want some water?
John. Water will help. I've got some candy here.
While you're taking the break, there's plenty of seats over here. I hate to see people standing. It's going to be a fairly long morning. We do have enough seats for everybody.
You better leave.
It's in Melton.
Thank you. The water helped. In the process of questioning that occurred after we sent out the notices, we found a tremendous amount of misunderstanding. In many cases, people did not understand that their entire property wasn't identified as a state resource area. In many cases, the portion of the property identified it as a state resource area was unbuildable anyway. It was a river corridor, it was low ground, it was wetlands. It was an area that was clearly identified as not being buildable. In some cases, though, it clearly was buildable. It was wooded tracts that were very valuable for development. At that point, it became readily apparent to us that there's a tremendous amount of misinformation and panicky responses going around, which doesn't surprise me because they were all that way. And we felt a need to explain to people that being identified as a state resource area is not prohibitive of development. The counties who need to provide the special protection components that a state resource area and the Land Protection Act requires are asked to provide additional protection, not prohibition. So that protection may be a forest cover protection. It may be the ubiquitous and controversial buffer protection. It may be to develop and maintain connectivity with the next site. It may be, there's a variety of tools, there's an almost endless variety of tools, many of which were not envisioned in the 1990 law itself, but are now available to us. So it's not a prohibition against development, it is a request and a requirement that the development that ensues on state resource areas recognizes their value and affords additional protections to them. Now, and those protections, again, I've gone through a list of them. I could continue, but we have a lot more tools now than we used to have to do it. It is our position that in order to maintain the protection of the unique ecological functions of state resource areas, every county government needs to provide additional protection. You have 18 months from the date of state certification of your comprehensive plan, which hasn't occurred yet, to adopt and incorporate overlay zoning ordinances, guidelines, and specific technically based environmental performance standards, design criteria, and mitigation requirements, where appropriate, that shall apply to the significant ecological functions identified on these lands, along with the procedure for the appeal of such designation. One of the questions came up early on was, is there an appeal process at the state level? Well, we afforded one. We did correct our mapping to include areas that since our selection of them, since our identification of them as state resource areas, we found to have already been lost. They've already been zoned or permitted. Construction has been planned for them and it's gone through the permit process. And they're no longer then state resource areas. They're either existing or potential developments. So we cut them out. The anticipated appeal to state resource area in the law is through that appropriate county process which exists. Now, whether it's a Board of Appeals or whatever, there is an appeal, but it is yet to come. Right now, the any state resource area can be developed according to existing law and existing standards. There is no protection in law in Sussex County for state resource areas. You haven't engaged in this process. Why haven't you engaged since 1990? Because you haven't been asked to. You are being asked now, though. So that generally covers my issues as a presentation. I've kept it short. I do have several pieces of correspondence, one an email that with which I may comment on, but I had asked Ron Vickers, who did the actual mapping, most of the grunt work with his staff. Ron is a, you're not an administrator, are you? You're a program manager, Ron. He's a big shot in the parks and recreation. He's a quiet and intense person who did design these maps. I've asked him to show and demonstrate the maps. It couldn't be visible to the council itself. And I fooled with that, which was a mistake.
You mean these maps?
I was yelled at by this gentleman.
John, we have these.
You have those, but the public then place those so the public can see them because they have identical copies of them in a smaller edition. You were very polite, and I apologize. I just wanted to make sure people could see the flag, and I thought there would be offense taken if they shielded the flag during the pledge.
Do you see him?
Thank you. I'll try to explain these lovely colors we have here, and the council members also have smaller versions of these as well. On this particular map, there are two different colors. The green is listed as state resource areas, and those are the sites that we did map under this particular program according to the law. And the orange over top, there's orange over top of green in this case, are protected state resource areas. And as Secretary Hughes mentioned, the state resource areas are a combination of different landscape features, if you will. We concentrated on large forest blocks in Kent and Sussex counties. We were looking at forest blocks of 250 acres and larger in size. In Newcastle County, it's 150 acres in size. There's less forest land left in Newcastle County. We were looking at connectivity, or how you can connect forest blocks from place to place or connect protected lands from area to area. We also looked at a statewide wetlands mapping project, which was directed at tidal and non-tidal wetlands. Excuse me. We also looked at rare species locations. We also have specific forest resource studies that have taken place over the past few years, looking at quality and types of forest lands. We also have work related to specific habitat types, if you will. A combination of factors, as well as other planning documents that have been on the books. There are green infrastructure initiatives, key wildlife habitat plan, which is a relatively new one, which is directed at trying to maintain common and rare species of wildlife throughout the state and what they need in terms of habitat for sustaining their populations. And we also looked at the past state resource area maps and other planning documents that come into play.
I'd like to point out a couple of salient features. Salt marsh is already protected. Can't do a thing with it. That's Inlet State Park, El Seashore State Park. Trevor Swamp. Most of this is Redmond State Forest and the Gladfelder acquisitions of the last few years that protected this area. Nanticoke, we own a lot of land up in that neck of the woods. So they're protected, and we have chosen, again, mapped. Freshwater wetlands are often included. They're not protected under Delaware law.
Also, we looked at other things that we did not want to map in a state resource area. You will find very, very, very few agricultural fields, agricultural lands in these mapping, in the mapped green areas. Again, this goes back to the direction we received from Secretary Hughes, as well as making sense. How do you defend this particular farm field being in a state resource area and not this one? We basically stuck to the tree lines and stuck to the riparian corridors or stream or river corridor areas. You will also find very, very few working forests, as we call them. Plantation forests, forest lands that are going to go under a regular rotation of crop, if you will, of trees. In a few cases, you will see some of those included, and you will see a few cases of farmlands included if they are surrounded by other naturally occurring forest lands or other protected lands, in holdings, if you will. One way to look at this, then, is on this map, kind of call this the Christmas color map here, the red and green, all the green are the state resource areas. And in Sussex County, we're talking at 116,000 acres. That's 19% of the county. Now, when you jump over to this map, the orange on top of the green, those are state resource areas that are already protected. And again, already protected resource areas are approximately 67%, or 77,000 of that 116,000 acres are already protected. And now let me define protected for you. Protected lands, the orange lands, are federally owned properties, conservation lands such as Prime Hook, state-owned lands such as state parks, state fish and wildlife areas, state forests, other conservation organization lands, nonprofit lands such as Sussex County Land Trust, Nature Conservancy property, and so forth. Also protected in this are tidal wetlands, because tidal wetlands are protected, in essence, under state statute. Okay. So when you put that together, what you're left with is the little green pieces, if you will, sticking out from under the orange, and that's the unprotected state resource areas in Sussex County. And that comes down to approximately 38,000 acres, about 6% of the county land mass. So what we're talking in terms of needing additional protection or working with the counties to provide some type of protection is about 6% of the county. One thing then we wanted to look at was we developed the resource area maps, but we also wanted to get a sense of, in helping us to define those, where is development taking place already in the county? And then we'll jump back to this red and green map, if you would, please. The green, again, is the total state resource area, whether it's protected or not. Okay. Red on here is a development layer. And this was... we put this together from a variety of sources. Again, we're using as a base map here 2002 aerial photography. That's the latest version we have that's been flown statewide and then has been analyzed for land use, land cover purposes. Photo interpreters break it down into different types of use of land. They can pick out various features and so forth across the landscape. But what we did was we used the 2002 land use, land cover analysis. We mapped all residential properties, all industrial, all commercial properties. We've also included all minor subdivisions approved through 2002. We've also included in here all approved subdivisions, major subdivisions, through June 30th of 2006. The only thing, in essence, we're missing are minor subs, which have been approved from 2002 to 2006. We're still trying to work with the counties and trying to get a handle on how to map those and how to track those, if you will. We've done this statewide. So what you end up with is, in red, all of the developed lands in the county. There may not be a house right here, but there's an approved subdivision, okay? The house may not be there, but the land has already gone through a land use change and is eligible for houses to start on it tomorrow or today. But what we're looking at in Sussex County is, from a developed land perspective, 108,000 acres, or 18% of the county. Okay. And you can see how the natural development pattern, if you will, is obviously around the municipalities and the town centers and growing out from there. But you're also seeing it in other places throughout the county as well. And then you can see how our state resource areas kind of fit within that pattern, if you will. We're still concentrating our efforts on protecting natural lands that have not undergone land use changes, and also hopefully in a situation in a landscape setting, if you will, where they can be protected and maintained to maintain those wildlife characteristics, those ecological functions, water quality protection, and so on and so forth. So that's kind of a very quick overview of these two maps, and again, County Council has those if they have any other questions.
You have anything else, Secretary?
I think I've spoken enough. I would respond to any questions, and did bring expert help with me.
Okay. Due to the
depth.
If you'll stand right there, due to the lateness of the hour, we're already on overtime on this subject. I'm going to go through and ask each councilman to ask Secretary Hughes or any questions they might have, and we'll go that route, and hopefully your question will be answered, and then we'll get a show of, we'll ask for a show of support or opposition at the end, and because we're going to be here for hours if we let everybody start speaking. I know that everybody's got a lot they want to say, but we're going to handle it this way. Mr. Cole.
John, you stated the 1990 Act, or it's been around since 1990, right? But anyway, but we were not asked to do something because, we hadn't done anything here in the county about this resource stuff since 1990 because we weren't asked. Now we're being asked, again, quickly, a Reader's Digest version. What are we going to be expected to do now that we're being asked? What is expected of us?
You are asked to, as a component in your comprehensive plan, which is due, to recognize state resource areas and to, upon approval of the comprehensive plan by State Planning Office, to pass such additional ordinances as may be necessary to protect the lands in question. Now, how you protect them, again, is a county decision.
But what are the suggestions? I mean, somebody's going to tell us how to protect
the comprehensive plan.
Pardon me?
There is approval of the comprehensive plan, which I believe is eventually approved by the governor. Signature. Am I correct?
Okay, yes. What I'm trying to say is you're going to ask us how to protect them. We don't have an environmentally a DNRAC at the county level. How do we know how to protect them?
DNRAC is prepared through its own staff, its own expertise, and the retention of a consultant who was at your disposal to present to you a menu of possible protective components.
We'll do that, or we have to ask
you
for
will
that?
Do that.
You'll do that? Okay,
obviously, I won't thrust it upon you.
If we're required to do it, I mean, we need to know how you want to protect it, because I hate to get to the 11th hour, and we haven't protected it the way you've wanted to protect it. There needs to be some conversation leading up to that. And earlier the better, I would think.
And I think it would be inaccurate for me to tell you, standing here today, that I knew how to protect I knew the exact components necessary to protect these lands. I think that still needs to be developed.
We're surely not going to know.
That's correct, and that's why I'm here.
Okay.
To offer you two things, the assistance of my department. The second thing is a consultant to work with you on the exact specific planning of a protective structure for the overlay that these lands will require that will meet your citizens' approval and your approval.
Dave, is that part of our land use consultant's job to coordinate with his consultants on protection, or is this the first we've heard about it?
Yes, that would be part of our consultant's job.
So they're aware that this has to be done? Or are we just
that's one of the questions I have.
Okay,
ask Mr. Baker.
I'm done, Mr.
Comments.
Hughes.
That's all?
That's all.
Mr. Rogers.
Yeah, Mr. Hughes, we've been hearing the land use plan, public input around the county on comprehensive plan, and
we've been listening to the public around the area about the comprehensive plan, and one of the main topics on the western side of the county has been the SREs. And I think the fear in the public, and especially the farm community, is, you know, you hear a document explained to you and you read the document, that the fear of not knowing in there someone's going to attack their property rights or their equity. How do they feel safe before, you know, you said that we need to get citizens' approval before we implement the plan here, even though it's law, how we go about protecting the resource. I don't think anybody out there is against protecting natural resources. It's how to get to that point. And how do we assure the farm community that their property rights are not being invaded or their equity is not being taken, that in the future, for their last cash crop, at some point in the future, if they ever have to sell, they can do what they do with it now and not be restricted in any manner to do what they like to do. That, I think the fear's there, and we heard this pretty loud and clear in Greenwood. That was a real big concern.
All right, my answer is twofold. One, the plan, the law, places the responsibility for devising the exact protective components for this land at the county level. But you've always protected land at the county level, other than our simple purchase of it, which, as you know, none of money in Delaware to purchase all the land that we may wish to have in full protection. So you have your record as county council and what you've done over the decades in responding to your citizens as a strong component. And I consider that better than the state, or worse of all, the federal government coming in here and telling people what they can and can't do. Your listeners, your responsibility is to listen. You have the flexibility and scope to choose the protective components. Now, should you choose the protective component to be not protective, then we would question that. I mean, we will clearly state that those components which meet some standard of protection and those that don't, I mean, we have that responsibility under the law, and we'll exercise it. That's one clear component that I think is extremely important, that you are a responsible and responsive agency. You will listen. Does that help you?
Yeah, you can get to a point.
I have some confidence in that ability. I think you're evolving towards that. I don't think it's always been the case in Sussex County that land has been adequately protected.
Well, I think a lot of times the fear results in a state law being created and saying that the county will manage the law and make sure it's enforced. And under the last land use plan, a lot of, you know, if you call Dover after we've had all the public hearings and say they mandate certain things to be in the plan, at some point we put in the plan, then you call Dover and say, well, who made you put this in the plan? They'll say Sussex County's land use plan. Mm-hmm. And the public's very sensitive in many, many areas with, you know, development being very visible. But property rights and equity in the farm community is very, very strong, and we have to look out for those. Our heritage comes from agriculture in Sussex County, and we have to assist them in protecting that right.
I enjoy that. I approve that. You're telling me what I knew to be the truth anyway, and I think that's great. Now, if you're coming into Sussex County from out of state, you want to make some money and go back home, this is not the bill for you. Now, this is the preservation of the basic, most valuable properties in the county through a flexible approach that allows development, completely allows development, in growth areas, of course. That's the charm of this bill. It is a bill of tradition, heritage. It's a bill that recognizes that there's still valuable aspects of this county yet to be saved, and we can afford to develop by saving these components. I think that's a key element, and that's the charge that you have to maintain that tradition of saving.
Okay, thanks, sir.
Mr. Jones?
John, I of course we've a couple times mentioned it. I talked to Frank about this state resource map, and I said if you hadn't sent out the letter, we probably wouldn't have to have land use meetings, because I'll be honest with you, you know, I know you've got over 500 calls in those type areas of people concerned, and people are concerned, and especially in my area about, and I know you sit here and told us that we have the ability to make an appeals process and set up the rules and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But I guess, you know, part of this was that somewhere down the line, the state legislator did make a bill to allow them to opt out, and it was vetoed. And so now it's kind of shifted in our area, which I think it should be here, because I don't want it to state my business anyway. So, you know, I'm pretty, but I just, you know, I really have concern that when this law was made and DMRAC having the ability to make a resolution at any given time, that I might trust you, but the next guy behind you or whoever or somebody sitting behind, some bureaucrat sitting behind the desk says, well, today is the day we're going to take resource mapping to another level, you know, and the people out there that just did get notified, you know, and I read in the minutes here that adjustments were made in the draft map, followed public workshops and public hearings, reviewed by the Open Space Council. And then I realize you signed it this year or last year in law. I guess, did the public get to have an opportunity to speak if they knew they were in the state resource maps when the adjustments were made, you know, according to this paper?
Okay, the map does not envision a state level opt out. I don't like the idea. I don't want to be in it. Okay, it has the charm of being uncomplicated. Okay,
I got you.
And very few other charms. It would not, in effect, preserve the lands that need preserving, in my opinion. That's my clear opinion. We corrected the map to recognize areas that had already been plain gone. They might not have been developed, but they were. They had all their permits for development. So that's what we did. Now, we answered questions. We sent individual maps to anyone that wished them to show what we really included of your land, and we have. These aren't maps you want to sell a property on, okay? But they've got the borders, and we used your information in the counties, all three counties, to set the property lines and show that portion of your property, which we've identified it as having special importance environmentally for the future and needs special protection, not the exclusion of building, not at all. We did that. There's a clear mandate for a county appeal process.
Right.
Now, if that appeal is, you were to say, well, it's very simple. We'll put an opt-out clause in and sail away. That'll eliminate anyone that has any objections. Get out. Well, that, again, that's the advantage of being uncomplicated. Would that clause be component in an approved comprehensive plan? I doubt it. I have to be very frank about that. In no sense.
Well, you certainly, I mean, the state has a hammer, there's no doubt about it.
Well, I didn't come here to tell you a bunch of foolishness.
Well, I understand.
And I will tell you that.
I just don't, I think, you know, that we certainly, if they're going to give us the ability to set up all this, then we certainly should have the privilege to allow a landowner to opt out. If
I think you need an appeals process,
right.
Whether it's the very simplistic opt-out, I don't like it. If it's correcting environmental inaccuracies or border disputes or...
And there might be some people out of 38,000 acres that will jump in wholeheartedly.
Yeah. I know who those people are.
We got two or three.
Place them in a phone booth, but they're not great crowds of them because they don't yet understand exactly how this system works. I believe that those of us who are here in the long haul will eventually make more money off our land by preserving the best components of it as part of the landscape than we will by allowing every square inch of the county and growth areas to be built upon. I think it enhances the value of property. Does it do it this year? No. It takes a while for us to figure things out.
Okay.
Mr. Hughes, I lost you when you turned the corner there on. You said something about 250 acres to be included on the map. Would you explain that to me again? I have a question.
Okay. You'll see small tracks on that map that you may know. I know you know your county. You say, well, that's wooded, but it's not 250 acres. It may be a rare species habitat that is included at less than 250 acres because it has rare species in it that are important to preserve. Generally, the large wooded tracts that are included in the map are over 250 acres. We took a standard, if it was 100-acre woods, what's that, Winnie the Pooh, one of the 100-acre woods. If it's 100-acre woods, it's not in there. Winnie's had a lot.
Well, the complaints I got was there was a couple out on River Road had one lot, and they got a letter. And she called me, Mila, what can I do with this? I said, I don't know, we're just learning ourselves. So I think that's what sort of set people off because you went down to way down to like one lot owner, got a letter of thank, you know, you should be proud that, you know, your land's included on the map.
Okay. All right, that's well put. Thank you. If there is a single lot, it is because property lines chopped up
adjacent
resource area into smaller lots, and those people definitely are included. Again, make no bones about that. Would we pick out of a large stretch of land a 50 by 100 state resource area? No. Am I correct? Say no loud.
You're generally correct. How's that? let me address that very briefly. When we looked at the landscape, we looked at it for the resource base. So we were looking at blocks of contiguous forest, 250 acres and larger in size, and basically regular shapes, not a bunch of cut-in kind of forest land, if you would. Now, we did not look at tax parcel lines in that case. We were looking at the resource. So when you overlay tax parcel lines, yes, some of those 250-acre blocks and larger, maybe one landowner, or it could be 10 or 15. And in those cases, yes, some of those folks who have maybe 1 or 2 acres or a building lot possibly did receive a letter because they're part of a larger forest block. And for information purposes, yes, they can sell that land if they choose to. This doesn't impact buying and selling land.
And once again, I want to make it clear that inclusion in a state resource area of a single lot has properly designed, the protective components and overlays would allow construction through the state resource area, including individual lots, depending on where they are. If they're right in the middle of a forest corridor and block a forest corridor, you might have a problem.
Second question.
Those problems have to be addressed.
Second question. This map was adopted by the state in 1990, and it was updated in 2006. Does that state law give you permission to update that map occasionally, or did you do it on your own, or how did I think it was 91,000 acres got
the 5-year update.
Okay.
Frankly, the standards of this update were different, and I alluded to them before. I anticipated this occasion. Don't make me stand in front of these people and defend an undistinguished piece of land that's mistakenly included in the map. Let's make darn sure, if we have to, get in cars and go out there and drive around without trespassing, make sure what we got. So, it has to be updated. What is the future going to bring? Is it going to bring a constant expansion of state resource areas? I really don't think so. I think the job's been done comprehensively and well. On this occasion, there might be some fine-tuning, but I think the percentage of inclusion will drop precipitously as we move forward. Let's face it, it'll drop for another reason. We are developing out large portions of Sussex County. We're a popular place.
Very much so. And you said something, you were going to help us, and I think you answered this probably, Mr. Cole. You're not sure how you're going to help us yet. Did any of that, were you referring to any compensation for this? If you're putting the land off limits or limiting or...
Then
we don't use the word taking, but limiting.
Well, let's take limiting. You make a living. One of your major charges in life is limiting the use of land. All zoning is limiting, other than the most inclusive of all zoning. It's saying this is a land that is limited and restricted in what you can do with it. That's the core element of zoning. We're saying these areas require additional protection, not a prohibition. If it's a prohibition, it's wrong. Don't do that. We're not asking you to do that. The law doesn't ask you to do that.
Okay. And I think you partially touched on it, Mr. Jones' question about letting people opt out. I mean, if we develop a way to let people opt out, whatever the rules are that we go by, and it has to go through the Board of Adjustments or county or planning zoning, somebody, you know, is the state going to tell us what our ceiling is on what are the rules we got to play by to let people opt out of this thing?
Yeah. Yeah. Again, a key and unavoidable element of all zoning is an appeals process. But if it's a simple opt-out, hell, I mean, I got a house in Rehoboth. You want to put a condo there, I made a lot of money. Move out here where you all live. It's a little more open.
You're but saying the standard, Dale, there's got to be some reasons to opt-out.
You have to be
and
good
if, and it depends on the reasons we come up with, if they're good, valid reasons. If it's just going to be a rubber stamp, guy wants out, and we give him out.
Okay.
Well, the way the law is
written,
that's
not going to work, and they're not going to like it.
The way the law is written, the only thing we can do is give them the avenue of appeal.
You need to give an avenue of appeal.
That's all we can do.
It has to be based on a reasonable basis. How many of you served on a board of variance? You must have done it in your lives. I have. There are standards for granting variances. I've used them. I've granted them many times.
I'll let my rest of the questions go because Mr. Baker has some questions. Is there any talk of the state bringing this back, this bill that Senator Venable sponsored to
yes.
people in this General Assembly session?
Yes. I would be, and I would expect it.
Yeah, okay.
I can't guarantee it, but I don't encourage it. But I opposed the bill last year unsuccessfully. That's make a living doing that, apparently. But
I appreciate your honesty. Mr. Baker.
Thank you. As was noted earlier, the county is working on its land use plan. And as I understand it, and if you could correct me if I'm wrong, we are required to include in our land use plan update maps, these SRA maps. And you are encouraging us, not necessarily requiring us, to develop restrictions, overlay zones, that sort of thing, for the SRA areas.
Not quite accurate. The law, and I'm the heavy for the law right now standing here, but the law says that directs that as a component of your comprehensive plan that you engage yourselves in an added layer of protection. Now, if that's forest cover or whatever, I think I gave to you some rough ideas. Now, the law itself gives 1990 land use ideas. Height restrictions. Well, they're old-fashioned already, just 16 years later, 17 years later. We're not worried about height. That's taken care of elsewhere. But no, the premise is that the county will add protection to the map state resource areas.
Okay. If just as... for an example, if I own 250 acres of forested land, say with a stream running through it, and I wanted to develop it, what kind of restrictions would you envision
Well, not I know what not right now, but I mean, if I was if the property was in an SRA area, what kind of suggested restriction?
Sure. Your site is a typical one. You have several wetland rare species. Most of the rare species happen to be wetland species in the botanical, not animal. But let's say you do have animal. You got the Delmarva fox squirrel is jumping around your trees. The components, and you're connected. You're on the Nanticoke. You're near Seaford. You have a wetland component in the land that's riparian, it's river corridor. Your design might include the preservation through low impact trails, through the maintenance of forest cover, of a connective strip through your land. It may say that development must preserve 45% of forest cover, of mature oak forest cover, whatever. It may have a woodland component in it. Those are two relatively simplistic concepts. Connectivity, preservation of endangered species, rare species, which usually you don't want to build there anyway, it's wetland, but not always. The Delmarva fox squirrel inhabits land that where we'd all love to live, but it's not necessarily wet. But those are components that could go in to the special layer of protection. I believe that those components are now portion involved in many of the plans that you're approving right now through planning and zoning and the council in our better developments here now. There are components for the preservation of an eagle nest or endangered species or wetlands or connectivity to other riparian corridors.
Thank you.
Mr. Griffin?
May I ask a couple of quick questions?
You sure can.
Is there any way for DENREC to move the process along to the point where more of the fear factor for landowners is gone before the county is obligated to manage these resource areas?
Okay, that's a fair question. I run a state agency. I'm not absent sensitivities about communication and public elements. I'm not a marketer, but I'm listening. I agree with you that better communications has always been a DENREC and a state agency problem. It's a government problem. I'd entertain any thoughts you have on the matter, because not now, but in the future, yes, better communication is a key element. We will send speakers anywhere we're asked. I was asked today to speak at four separate, four town meetings. I will be there. They're on Thursday nights in the next couple of months. I'll be there. Communication is a very important thing. If you wish me to send staff or be present myself, that's what I get paid to do. Communication is very important.
You mentioned the state acquired some land over behind the outlets to connect to the trail there. Did the 1990 Act include any level of funding to allow the Open Space Council to acquire land, and is there ongoing funding, or did it just mandate that we protect it but provide no means of acquiring a conservation easement?
What was provided in the original open space in the laws associated with the with this law that in question was $9 million a year, and we used it. The Open Space Council, I think, has done a very effective job of purchasing land, but I don't have to tell you that the $9,000,000 don't buy a lot of land in Sussex County anymore. We've lost purchasing power. It's been eroded by land values. We're still spending it, and in fact, we're in hock. We've obligated future funding out a year to tie up lands that are available. We are right now looking at and researching the availability of Sussex County lands. We have to have a willing seller, a willing buyer,
and a fair price, and our fair price is appraised value. We got lucky, in my opinion, big time, on tying up the lands between Rehoboth and Lewis, and we did acquire, you may recall, your county spray site, knowing that it was a spray site. Right now, people are getting really excited. Are we giving away parkland for spray sites? No. We acquired this hunk cheap as a spray site. We will maintain it as a spray site. I'm getting off subject. We may do that in the future. If I can get large hunks of land cheap adjoining our parks as protection for our parks, yeah, I think someday spray sites will be valuable for human use.
I agree.
Any other questions? Thank you, Mr. Secretary, for coming down and bringing your staff with you. You've answered a lot of the council's questions. And I will just quickly, for the benefit of you, and I'm sure you probably know what the answer is going to be, take a quick vote of the people here who are supporting the SRA maps. If I can see a show of hands. Come on, don't be bashful. A hand of those who are in opposition to the maps. Okay. Yep. Well, we do appreciate, again, do you have someone else you want to speak?
No, but I have one guy that I know damn well supports the maps. I didn't see his hand up.
you need to go talk to him then.
Okay. Thank you very much.
I'm sure you'll hear more about this in the future.
It's an intimidating audience.
Intimidating.
Mr. Baker, agenda.
First item I have today is a proclamation claiming the month of February as National Parent Leadership Month in Sussex County. Whereas meaningful parent leadership occurs when parents gain the knowledge and skills necessary to function in meaningful leadership roles and present a parent voice to help shape direction of their families, programs, communities. And whereas parent leadership is successfully achieved when parents receive support and training and share responsibility, expertise, and leadership in the planning, implementation, oversight, and evaluation of policies, practices, programs that affect families and communities. Whereas parent leadership is an essential and effective means of strengthening families and protecting children and is a necessary component of any impactful family support program. Whereas Parents Anonymous has created National Parent Leadership Month to recognize the extraordinary courage and tenacity of parents who have reached out to make improvements in their families and communities. And whereas Parents Anonymous has developed the National Parent Leadership Team, an innovative model that actively supports parents in meaningful parent leadership roles to help shape programs, practices, policies, and legislation that impact families everywhere. And whereas Parents Anonymous has accredited Delaware Ecumenical Council on Children and Families as its affiliate organization in the first state and operates parents support groups in all three Delaware counties. Whereas Delaware Ecumenical Council recognizes the vital importance of partnering with parents, assist public systems and private organizations, policymakers, and other key stakeholders to implement effective parent leadership strategies. And last, whereas National Parent Leadership Month recognizes, honors, and celebrates parents for vital leadership responsibilities. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Sussex County Council hereby proclaims the month of February as National Parent Leadership Month in Sussex County, and that's the proposed proclamation. And I'm not sure if anyone is here today to accept this proclamation, but there are.
I'll make a motion to approve the proclamation.
I have a motion, Mr. Jones, seconded by Mr. Rogers, to approve the proclamation proclaiming the month of February as a National Parent Leadership Month in Sussex County. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Yes, motion is carried.